ابراہیم صاحب کو بولا، مولانا سلیمان صاحب کے بھائی، تو وہ انگریزی میں اس کی تلخیص جتنی سنا سکتے ہیں اس میں سے اس کو مختصر کر کے اگر دو حصوں میں تین حصوں میں سنا سکے تو دو تین حصوں میں سنائیں گے.
ٹھیک ہے. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، والصلاۃ والسلام علی رسول اللہ. سو لاسٹ ٹو سیشنز وی ور سپیکنگ اباؤٹ ریا. Quickly just recap what was covered. Riya is seeking status or rank in the hearts of people by doing good deeds and doing ta'at. We spoke about the six types in the badan, in the body, in the hay'a, like moving slowly, in how you act, your clothing, speech, actions, and dhikr of the mashayikh, students, etc., to show that one should be a pious person. All of these are haram and from the kaba'ir. As for seeking status with actions that are not ibadat or not from the a'mal of deen, it is not necessarily haram as long as it does not lead to deception, harming others, takabbur, or any other bad qualities. As for people of dunya, they have their own ways of showing riya. Again, riya is iradatul ibad bi ta'atillahi azza wa jalla. Seeking the servants or seeking the creation by the actions that are meant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about what the hukum is, either it's haram, makruh, or mubah, such as, for example, the hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fixes his imama and his hair in looking in the base in the water basket. This was for other people, but this wasn't under that. He mentions, لَا نَقُولُ تَمَلُّكُ الْأَمْلَالُ الْكَثِيرُ حَرَامُ. كذلك لا نقول تملك القلوب الكثيرة حرام إلا إذا حملته إلى مباشرة ما لا يجوز. That gathering or having a lot of wealth is not in itself haram, nor is having a lot of people's hearts in your control haram, unless it leads to doing something that's impermissible. But then he also mentions التصرف والهمة مبدأ الشرور, that if this becomes the focus and the purpose a person does and they make that their attention, then this is where all the evil begins from. And then we discussed that for ibadat there's two scenarios. One where there's only riya, there's no seeking of reward. This ibadah is batil. Not only will they not receive any reward, they will also get two punishments. Number one is deception, because they're seeing other people with their ibadat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mockery. They're doing istihza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from min kaba'il muhlikat. This is from the major destroyers. And this is what the hadith refers to in al-shirk al-asghar. This is only done through extreme ignorance and out of the trick of shaitan. The second is when both are intended, and inshallah he will get into more detail later on in the next section, where there is some level of sincerity, but it is not at the level of the riya. So that was from the last two sessions. Now, riya comes in different levels or darajat. And something to keep in mind is, in this section he mentions a lot of lists, that this thing has three sections, and then this section there's two other, and then this section there's this many, so just we'll try to keep track of all of them, inshallah. So darajat of riya, the levels of riya, the severity of riya, has three factors, three pillars or arkan. Number one is regarding the riya in of itself. How strong is the niya of riya? The second is, what are we doing riya with or through ibadat, etc.? And the third one is, the reason, what we're trying to receive from that riya. So, the riya, the strength, what you're using and why you're using it. The who, what, and why, essentially. So, the first is nafsu qasda riya. The strength or the purpose or cause of riya in of itself. This is essentially the niyyah of riya. How strong the riya is. Basically, how much ikhlas do you have in your riya? So, there can be four scenarios. Number one is riya is the only thing there. Number two, it's really strong, but there's a little bit of ikhlas there. Number three, it's the same. The level of riya, the level of ikhlas is the same. And number four, it's where the ikhlas is stronger than the riya. In the hadith, okay, we'll come to So number one, worst is when there's no niya of thawab at all. This is, for example, people who pray, but out of actively, but if they're alone, they will not have prayed at all. In some scenarios, a person may pray without wudu, for instance. Or a person would generally not give zakah, but if someone is holding their money for them, then they say, oh, pay my zakat for me from that money. If the money was with them, they wouldn't have prayed. They wouldn't have paid that zakat. So this is the worst of these scenarios. Number two, the niyah of thawab is there, but it's very weak. The riyah is what is basically moves to do an action. So what we need to understand is, this is, as I mentioned, muharrik. There is the muharrik, the taking the thawab, is it the muharrik, is it iman, or is it something else? So it's sort of that factor. So essentially, in that first scenario, there is no proper muharrik, there is no proper motivation. In the second one, the motivation is almost entirely improper, but there's a little bit of proper motivation. وَمَا فِيهِ مِنْ شَائِبَةِ قَصْدِ الثَّوَابِ That if you were to, now what Musannif does is he says, let's imagine you take away that half, and how would this portion suffice? So if you were to assume in that first scenario, that if you were to take away the riyah, and just, would there be enough ikhlas to do the action? Well, in the first scenario, no, because there is no ikhlas there at all. In the second scenario, there's so much riyah still, if you were to assume it to be gone, the amount of ikhlas that's left is still not enough to motivate the person to actually do the good deed. And he mentioned this scenario is also only deserving of punishment. Number three, when both are equal, the amount of riyah and the amount of ikhlas or niyat al-thawab is the same. Such that if you only had that portion of riyah, that person wouldn't do that action. On the flip side, if a person had only the niyah of thawab, that hissa, that portion, that would also not be enough to motivate them to do good. That hissa of ikhlas or that hissa of riyah would not be enough of a muharrik to do a good deed. But when they come together, now the person has motivation, the himma to do it. And he mentions that the wa'id, the ayat and the hadith that speak about the punishment of riyah also encompasses this scenario. Then he mentions نَرْجُو فِي أَنْ لَا يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَا عَلِيهِ. He says the least we can hope for in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is that the good niyah and the riyah would cancel each other out, so that either there's no reward, no punishment, and that's better than having to be punished for this scenario. So again, so this is number three. Number one was no good niyah at all, just pure riyah. Number two, there's a little bit of ikhlas, but mostly or entirely riyah. Number three, it's equal. And number four is when the idea of others being motivation gives him a little bit of himma. But even if that riyah wasn't there, he will still do that action. And the hope is that because of there will be thawab in this, and then the deficiency would be, the punishment would be for the deficiency. Or the reward will be based off the level of ikhlas, and the reward and the thawab will be based off of the level of riyah. So that's the first rukun, the first out of the arkan. So the severity of riyah has three main components. The first one is the nafsu qasd riyah. How intense or how strong is the niyah of riyah? The second is what is used to show off with, the al-mura'a bihi. So the first is the niyyah itself. Now the second factor or component is regarding what is being used to do the riyah from. And there's two main categories. One is usulul ibadat, the main actions themselves. And number two, it's the awsaf, the qualities. So the essence, which actions are being chosen, which actions are being used to have that riyah. And the second is the awsaf al-ibadat, the qualities of those specific ibadat. And now, in the usul al-ibadat, there's three types. Number one is riyah bi asl al-iman. This is a person who is al-bab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most hated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is mukhallad bin nar, they will be in Jahannam forever. These are people who have nifaq, people who have riya, they are pretending to have iman when they don't have iman. These people are worse than kuffar because they are not only doing izhar or expressing their kufr, rather they are having the nifaq inside and then they're doing the deception as well. Nifaq al-zahir and kufr al-batin. Mentions that this is common in the early times of Islam, but it's not as much now. But there is a factor of this that is common. لَكِنْ يُكْفَرُ نِفَاقُ مَنْ يَنْسَلَّ عَنِ الدِّينِ بَاطِنًا. But there's people who internally they have this sort or form of nifaq. Such as people who deny Jannah and Jahannam or Akhirah, or they lean towards the ideas of Ilhad, or that they deny the ahkam of the sharia, or they devalue it, or they internally have aqidah of kufr and bid'ah, but they express the opposite of that. So this is the first level of the second type, meaning what is being used to show riyah, what is the avenue or means of this riyah to be done. And from there, there's two usul al-ibadat, the core tenets, the key aspects, foundational actions of our deen. And then number two, it's the qualities. Now from these core actions, the first is asul iman, nifaq. That person is a mukhalad fi nar, they are worse than kuffar. This is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And although a person may not outwardly be what we consider quote unquote a munafiq, a person can still have an aspect of this when they deny or don't have iman in the proper what's expected in terms of Jannah, Jahannam, Akhirah, the ahkam of Sharia, and what is meant to be believed in. The second is a person has tasdeeq, they believe in this core aspect of deen, but they have riya in the core or main ibadat. This is of course less than having nifaq, but it is still very grave and very hated according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. A person, for example, generally doesn't pray salah, but when they happen to be in a group, they don't want to be looked down on or ridiculed or disgraced, so then they pray. Or a person in a group is fasting, but they're looking and waiting to be alone so that they can break their fast. Or a person doesn't generally pray Jummah, or they wouldn't have the habit to pray Jummah, but because there's others around, they go and they pray as well. Likewise, in this case for Hajj, Jihad, Khidmah of parents, Salatul Rahim, all of these are examples where a person can have riya in the core aspect, in the sense that if there wasn't an aspect of showing off, they would not do it. So this person is a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he had to do ibadah of anybody else, he would refuse. If he has to do sajda to anybody else, he would refuse. But they leave ibadat out of their laziness or kasal. They do not get motivated, but when people are watching, they get motivated. So his rank, manzila with people, is more important to him than his rank with Allah. His fear of madammatun nas, his fear of people's ridicule or blame, is greater than his fear of iqab. His desire for their praise is greater than their desire for thawab. They believe in Allah, but they are in extreme jahala. These people are deserving of punishment, even though they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the core beliefs. So again, this person, this number two, they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they have iman. But the core a'mal of deen, they have kasal. They do not have enough muharrik, enough motivation to do those good deeds by themselves. Only time they will do it is when they're with people. Because they value the praise of the people, they fear the critique of the people, they seek the reward of the people, and they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, number one is riya in asul iman. Number two is riya in asul ibadat. Number three is in nawafil and extra things. That in scenario number two, if a person doesn't do it, they're sinful. A person doesn't pray, they don't go for Jumu'ah, they break their fast, then of course they are sinful. In scenario number three, the nawafil, if they do it, they don't do it, it's not sinful. But now they're doing it, they're doing these nafil actions for riya purposes. So there's no sin in it, in of itself. But now in khalwa, they wouldn't do it because of kasal, out of laziness. Or futur raghbatin fi thawab. That they're lazy, but the ihtisab, the desire for the reward is not strong enough in them that they're not going to do it. So this is not deserving of reward. They're preferring the ladha, the enjoyment of laziness over the thawab. But now when the opportunity to show off pushes them to do it, then they'll start doing it. That if people wouldn't see them, they wouldn't do it out of their laziness, preferring their laziness. But now if there's opportunity to see other people to observe this, then they will by all means go ahead and do it. Examples, following the janazah, washing the mayyit, praying tahajjud, fasting on Arafah, Ashura, fasting on Monday and Thursday. For persons by themselves where they know that nobody is going to know it or observe, they won't do it. But if an opportunity is there for a person to know about it, then they will have the motivation to do it. They do this hoping for praise or fear of madamma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if they were alone, they would only do the farad amount. They would pray farad amount. They wouldn't do the sunnah, they wouldn't do nawafil if they're alone. But if there was people, then they would then definitely do it. This is of course bad, but it's not as bad as the previous first two scenarios. He mentioned this is halfway riya. So a person will get halfway iqab as well. So that is number rukun number two. So we mentioned the darajat of riya. The riya has three main components. Number one, it's the strength in which a person has that the intention of riya. Number one was where there's only riya, no ikhlas. Number two, it's mostly 90% riya, 10% ikhlas. Number three, 50% riya, 50% ikhlas. And number four, it's 80%, 90% ikhlas, 10-20% riya. Number two, in the second rukun, it's what is being used for that riya, that purpose of riya, what is being used. Number one, it's usul al-ibadat, the core aspects of our deen. Number one, what's asul iman, a person can have nifaq in that. Number two, a person can have, or they can have riya in that, which is known as nifaq. Number two, a person can have riya in the core ibadat, fara'id, that they would do this preferring their laziness, fearing people, hoping from people, more so than connecting it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, it's in the nawafil. So this is all in the actions themselves. The second aspect of al-mura'a bihi, the thing that is being used for riya, is now in terms of the awsaf, the qualities of those things. So showing off with qualities, that if alone he would not do those qualities, he wouldn't pray salah in that same manner. But when he is with people, he is doing those, having with those qualities. For example, a person doesn't pray salah, doesn't do the arkan of salah properly. They're praying salah, but they're not doing it properly. For example, sajda is incomplete, ruku is incomplete, they're praying fast, they're looking around, the jalsa between sajda is improper, But now if a person is there and they know a person is watching, then it all becomes better. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions, مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ اسْتَهَانَةٌ يَسْتَهِينُ بِهَا رَبَّهُ. That whoever does this sort of riya, they are making mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their ibadah. In private, they do not care. When they are with Allah alone, they do not care. But when they are with people, they care. An example of this is a person who is sitting with a king, and he is sitting relaxed, informal, in not the most adab position. He's with the king and he's sitting this way. But when the khadim comes, he sits up properly and he sits accordingly. Well, the king is there this whole time, but you didn't have adab with that. But when the ghulam comes, you sit properly. This is istihza with the king. The king will get very angry and upset at this. When it comes to examples, we gave example of salah, but now zakah, we can give it with the good part of our wealth or a bad part of our wealth, in a good way, in a bad way. Fasting, we know in fasting we're not supposed to do, speak ill, lie, backbite, etc. But now a person, he doesn't do any of these things to show people that he is fasting. So if he avoids vain talk, bad talk, for people not hearing that from him and not assuming him to be a bad person. Not, he doesn't avoid it for the sake of the reward. فَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنْ رِيَا الْمَحْضُورِ. So this is also from the riya that has to be avoided. Because in it you are essentially preferring the makhluq over the khaliq. Now he mentions a funny ishkal or something a person may say, that I'm actually doing this, yeah, there's riya, but I'm doing it to save people from riba. I'm praying nicely, I'm praying fasting, I'm doing all this, so if people don't look at me and do riba, and I don't want them to get this in a riba, that's why I'm doing this riya. And this is simply the trick of shaitan. And he gives an example that we're bringing a gift to the king. It's broken, it's ugly, it's a very bad gift. When we're with the king, we give it. But now in this scenario, we want to give the gift, but now there's some khadim standing there, and now we say, you know, I can't give it because it's not going to look, I can't let the khadims look anything bad of me. So he doesn't give the gift, or he holds it, he fixes it, and then he gives it. So that the khadims think good of him. While he's giving the broken, the bad to the king when he's alone. But when the person's alone, it doesn't bother you. But when the servants are there, you fix it. So he mentions, وَصَحِيهُ, what's the correct thing after the long discussion? أَنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلِيهِ, that what is necessary for him, what's wajib upon him, and يُحْسِنَ وَيُخْلَصُ, that he should focus on his own ihsan, he should focus on his own ikhlas, and even if إِلَمْ تَحْضُرْهُ النِّيَّةِ, and even if the pure niyyah doesn't come, then he should still continuously practice this ihsan and this ikhlas, and make this his habit when he is alone. Because there's nothing فَلِسَ لَهُ أَنْ يَدْفَعْ ذَمَّ بِالْمُرَآتِ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ ذَاكِ اسْتِهْزَى. And then he continuously reminds us of this idea of that focusing on other people other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever excuse we give it is simply making a mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was number one. Number one from the awsaf, riya in the qualities of our ibadat, where the things that have to be done, the qualities that are expected are not there, but then for the sake of riya, they show up. Number two is qualities that will not negatively impact the ibadah. مَا لَا نُقْصَانَ فِي تَرْكِهِ. But rather they give the ruling of takmila or atatimma, that they complete the ibadah, they from the perfection of the ibadah, not from the completion or the components of ibadah. So comparing to the first one, it has to be there. If it's not there, it's bad. There's nuqsan there. In scenario number two, category number two, If it's there, then it's supposed to be there, it's great. But if it's not there, in of itself, it will not nullify or decrease or diminish from the basic aspect of the ibadah. For example, long ruku and sujood, doing rafa'u yadayn properly in the beginning of salah, catching takbir ula, being quiet in Ramadan, preferring khalwa in Ramadan, tulu samt, being quiet, not joking, not doing any of these things. If a person talks, jokes, the fast isn't nullified or broken, but now this is from a person's working on their fast. But now they do it to show off. This is from the second category. Number three, this is outside of the ibadah now. So number one, asul ibadah, sifa of asul ibadah. Number two is the timma of the ibadah, the perfection of the ibadah. Number three, they are secondary or connected to the ibadah. So this is number three. So this is not connected to the nafil in of itself. For example, coming to the masjid early, catching first saf, see on the right side of the imam. These are all things that are not going to nullify the ibadah, nor will it be considered part of the takmeel of the ibadah in of itself. Rather, these are the second level things, and they can happen here as well. So he mentioned, of course, these are worse, these are all bad, not as bad as the previous one, but these are all still things that need to be avoided. So again, three arkan of riya, three main components of riya. Number one is the strength of the riya, 100% zero, majority riya, a little bit of ikhlas, musawi, same, or the majority ikhlas, a little bit of riya. Number two rukun, it's what is being used, usul al-ibadat and awsaf al-ibadat, the ibadat themselves, the expected things themselves, or the quality of those ibadat. Under usul ibadat, you have usul iman, you have the usul of the ibadat, and then you have the nafil themselves, the nawafil themselves. Under the awsaf, you have the wasf of the mandatory, the fara'id awsaf. Then you have the nafil awsaf, the mandatory things, like we mentioned, doing sajda properly, jalsa properly, tahajjud properly, not looking around, etc. Number two, it's in the nafil awsaf. And then number three is things connected to these ibadat themselves. Now the third rukun. So this is the third and last rukun of what of the different darajat of riya. This is what a person is seeking from this riya. A person does riya because they hope from something from this person. Praise, protection, and he mentioned these are darajat in here. Number one, which is the worst, is to be able to do haram thereafter. A person does riya, they get some sort of manzila, they get some sort of authority, they get some sort of trust, and once they get that, then they're able to do riya, they're able to do some haram with it. They pretend to be pious, do nafil, and then they get to become known as ameen, trustworthy, and now they get money for yateen, or they get money to distribute as zakat, or they get money to go for hajj on somebody's behalf, and now they get to keep some of that money for themselves. That they're able to do whatever they want with it. People trust them now, and now they can enjoy from their haram gains. Or a person gets a zeal of the pious, the sulaha, and they speak very nicely, and they do all these things so that they can do fujur with an imra or ghulam, that they can do these sins and do these haram by means of pretending to do these actions of good. وَهَٰؤُلَاءِ أَبْغَضُ الْمُرَائِينَ. And these are the people who are most hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the most despicable of the people who do riya. لَنَّهُمْ جَعْلُوا طَاعَةَ رَبِّهِمْ. Because they make the ibadah of their Lord سُلَّمًا لِلْمَعْصِيَةِ. They make it stairs to acquire sin. And another scenario for this is a person, they do good deeds to get rid of the tuhma that's upon them. That person was considered to be a khain, do khiyana for people's wealth. So what does he do now? He gives sadaqah, he gives zakat, he gives charity. So that people say, no, he must not be like that. He must be ameen because he look at all the sadaqah he's doing. If he's giving charity from his own side, subhanAllah, he has this ta'aluk with Allah, then of course he will be, he'll be trustworthy with other people's wealth. Number two is doing something that and seeking something that is mubah in terms of wealth or nikah. You do become pious because you want to get married to a specific beautiful person, something a sharif person, or it could be a specific person or person in general, or you want to get something, some wealth, you want to get some easy, something nice. Then this is also decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طَلَبٌ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ مَتَاعَ حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We're seeking the mata' dunya with the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number two. And number three is they do riya not to be seen or to get something good, but to be avoid of to avoid having that being looked at deficiently. So a person, for example, they're laughing and then they don't want to be seen like a person who's always in a state of ghafla. So they laugh and they say subhanAllah, they say astaghfirullah after that. Allah just to show that, you know, I still remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't seem that they're in ghafla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that level of ghafla, if they're in alone in privacy, they wouldn't have bothered them. But now in public, they want to show that, no, I'm still back and I'm still remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why every once in a while they say subhanallah, they say astaghfirullah. So now he gives a very nice scenario or story of a person who's in this scenario. A person is thirsty on the day of Arafah, but he doesn't drink. So people think that he is fasting. And if they think that he's fasting, he won't eat either now. And now he's giving this perception that I'm fasting on the day of Arafah, even though he's not fasting. And now food is offered to him, he says, no, I can't eat. But he's not going to say, I'm fasting. He says, oh, there's some order I can't eat right now. I'm sorry. So people think he's fasting. But he won't say he's fasting. He'll make some sort of ishara, or something or else. Now he's doing two bad things. He's doing khiyana, and he's also doing, he's pretending to fast, and he's pretending to have ikhlas. So now he's doing jama' bil khabithain. He has two bad things now. But now, for some reason, he has to drink. And now, he drinks, but he mentions some udhr. He does ishara to somebody like, oh, I'm not feeling well, something. But then he doesn't make the order right away either. He waits some time, so then, because if he gives the order right away and says, the idea is maybe I'm trying to avoid looking like I have riya, even giving my order. So he won't give the order right away as well. He'll give it some time, and then later on he'll give some ishara by way of hikaya. He'll just throw in dhinnan somewhere, that, oh, because of this reason, I actually wasn't fasting. But when he's drinking the water, he won't do it, because a person drinking water, oh, I'm not fasting because of this, that order that he's giving has that concept of riya in it, so he's going to delay that order as well. And then somebody said, oh, I had some mahman over, or I was planning to have mahman over, so taqiban al-qulub, I didn't do it. Or my mother, she's concerned about me, so that's why I'm not fasting. He'll just do it by way of some other conversation, he'll bring it back to that and give his order of why he's not fasting. So when he drinks, then he has to give some sort of ishara to why he's not doing it. And he's not feeling well. Or taqiban al-qulub. He won't rush to give his order either, rather he'll give it muhlah, give it some time. He'll wait. And then by way of hikaya, he will mention it. Then khulasa at the end, he says, وَأَمَّا الْمُخْلِصُ. After a person who has sincerity, فَلَا يُبَالِي. He doesn't care كَيْفَ نَظَرُ الْخَلْقُ إِلَيْهِمْ. How the creation looks at him. فَهَذِي دَرْجَاتُ الْرِيَاءُ وَرَاتِبُ أَوْصَافِ الْمُرَائِينَ. That these are the levels of riya and the levels of the type of people who do riya. وَجَمِيعُهُمْ تَحْتَ مَقَتِ اللَّهِ. And all of these scenarios are under the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَشَدِّ الْمُهْلِكَاتِ. That these are from the gravest of things that destroy us. تَنَزَّلَ فِيهِ فُحُولُ الْعُلَمَاء. That in it are the ulama, فَضْلًا عَنِ الْعُبَادِ, let alone the ubad, and everybody else in this. وَهِيَ أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبَةِ النَّمْلِ. And this is from, this is more subtle than the calling of an ant. So we have three darajat, three factors that make him, what is the level of the riya. Number one was the strength of the riya. Number two was what is being used for the riya purposes. Number three is why the riya is being done. And all of these are aspects of riya, all of them are impermissible, all of them have to be worked on and to be removed. And then lastly from the section is Musannif Rahimullah, he mentions how subtle this riya gets. And he mentions four levels of how this riya can be very subtle and very hidden. Number one, which is jali, very obvious and apparent. It's this riya that forces you to do the amal. That only because of this amal, only because of riya, I am doing this amal. Number two, it's khafi. A person prays tahajjud. Generally, he prays tahajjud. But when he has mahman over, he has more energy. It's easier for him to wake up. And he still does it. He was doing tahajjud before, but now it's easier for him. Number three, يَسُرُّهُ اِطْطُلَاعُ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ, that he's happy when people become aware or know, come to know of his good deeds. Mentions riya is like a fire. This type of riya is like the fire that's hidden in a rock. Because when a rock is lit up and then that color comes and everything like that, so the fire is considered like inside of it. So that's what it means. So now, if something comes his way, that praise comes from, people have ittila of these good qualities now, and he doesn't oppose it in his heart with karahiyah, he doesn't hate it, he doesn't dislike it in his heart, then this becomes a rida or becomes a sustenance or food for that, that it becomes a seed in that person, and now it grows, and now if they don't have karahiyah for it, over time then that riya grows in them, and now they start doing all these things that I previously mentioned, because he didn't have karahiyah for that. And then he mentioned something more khafi than this. He doesn't try to show it, rather he conceals it as well. And if people become aware of this, it doesn't make him happy either. But what does happen? It makes him happy when people greet him first. When people are happy with him. People praise him in general. Not that specific ibadah, but just in general. That transaction become easy for him. People give that person makan and respect. And when something falls and they don't have that, then it leads to some sort of stress in their heart of why is this happening? Why is this person not? Generally it's like this. How come this is not happening this way? They're not worried about the actual ibadah, but what they're looking at is كأن النفس تتقابل احترام على الطاعة التي أخفاها. That the nafs is seeking or desiring ihtiram, respect, from the ta'a, which he's already hiding. But he just wants this blessing of this ibadat to come his way and to receive all these benefits without him, quote unquote, exposing his good deeds or being praised for it. So that's still a form of riya, because we are expecting people's actions and engagement based off of our ibadat, even though it's not necessarily being exposed. So, and lastly, he says, if a person, as long as a person does not differentiate between the exposure of insan or bahima, if he still has some farq between them, then there is some sha'iba, some form of riya in it. So a person will not have riya when doing anything in front of people, by people, their reactions, ihtiram is same to them as if a different animal were to do it or not to do it. So those were the three arkan of riya that show the different darajat. Number one was the strength of that riya, which is really strong, 100-0, 80-20, 50-50, or mostly ikhlas in some level of riya. Number two is what we're doing it through. Number one is to the core ibadat, asul iman, asul ibadat, the nawafil, or things that are then auxiliary or connected to those nawafil. Number two is the quality of those ibadat. The third rukun is why it's being done. Either the riyah is to acquire or to perpetuate something haram. Number two is for something mubah. Or number three, it's to do dafa of something or to just have a higher manzila in the people's eyes. All of these are impermissible and disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the subtleties of riyah are many. Any general sense, number one, it's the level just to do the ibadah, that riyah. Number two, it's, it becomes easy to do that so people can see. Number three, it's not when they're there, but rather people have ittila, that they become aware of your good qualities and your ibadat. And number four, it's when we expect ihtiram and respect based off of our actions, even though we're hiding it. سبحان الله بس توفيق
ما شاء الله كم وقت ترى جاهز يوني ناري بعد كتير تقول جزاكم الله الله تعالى جزاء خير دي ہم سب کو اخلاص کی دولت سے مالا مال فرمائے اے ریاکاری کی دھیان رکھنے کی توفیق دے آمین جزئیات کان میں آنے سے ہوتا یہ ہے کہ باریک باریک باتوں کی طرف ذہن منتقل ہوتا ہے یہ باریک باریک باتیں ایسا بھی ہوتا ہے ایسا بھی کرتا ہے بندہ یعنی نفس کی جو شرارت ہے شیطان کی جو شرارت ہے وہ اور نفس کی جو شرارت ہے اصل میں اس کو امام غزالی کھول رہے ہیں کہ کہاں پہ نفس کس طرح کی شرارت کرتا ہے اور کیسے وہ داخل ہو جاتا ہے عمل میں ہمیں اندازہ بھی نہیں ہوتا اور کیسے سیدھے انداز میں بھولے انداز میں نیکی کے راستے سے بہانہ ایسا کرتا ہے کہ سامنے والا بھی سمجھتا کہ دین ہے اور کرنے والا بھی سمجھتا کہ یہ دین ہے اور حالانکہ اسی میں شرارت ہے بلکہ بھی اس کا نفس اس کو بتا رہا ہوتا ہے تو اس لیے یہ بہت عجیب و غریب چیز ہے کہ اندرون کی جو صفات ہیں ان کے اندر جو اونچ نیچ پائی جاتی ہے ان کو سیکھنا ان کی باریکیوں کو جاننا پھر اپلائی کرنا یعنی وہ جب عمل کرتے ہیں اور اس میں یہ واقعات جب پیش آتے ہیں اپنے ایسا ذہن چلتا ہے اس میں تو دھیان رکھ کے کہ ارے اچھا فلاں فلاں کام میں فلاں چیز میں نے ایسا سوچا تھا یہ وہی چیز ہے اس میں کہیں شبہ آئے شک آ جائے تو پھر وہ پوچھ لینا وہ اس کے لیے شیخ سے بار بار جگہوں پہ شبہ ہو جاتا ہے ایسا شبہ ہو جاتا ہے کہ فیصلہ نہیں کر سکتا آدمی تو وہاں کو صفائی کرنے کے واسطے شیخ رہتا ہے اور بعض مرتبہ علاج سمجھ میں نہیں آتا تدبیر سمجھ میں نہیں آتی کیا کرنا ہے اس کا علاج کیسا کرنا ہے وہاں پہ رائے مشورہ دے دیے تو مدد مل جاتی ہے ایسا ہوتا ہے وہ